Oh my goodness. Herbs. In the beginning, God created, right? And he made the plants and the trees and all the things. But sometimes we run into things that we're kind of worried about dealing with because there can be some new age connotations to them. And we get to relying on what doctors tell us and other things and forgetting about what God created from the very beginning. You may hear birds in the background, my husband on the tractor, or the children playing with the dogs. This is Real Life on the Prairie with Donita Fogelman of prairie-trail.com, weathering the dust storms of life with God's divine help. And I have with me today, Kristen Smith from, let's see,
A Better Way to Thrive.
This is why I let people introduce themselves, because I can barely remember my own name, you know, and pronounce it properly. Please introduce yourself and tell people about yourself.
Sure. Yeah, so I'm Kristen Smith, and my website, my little home on the internet, is abetterwaytothrive.com. And I call it a place for Christians to learn about natural health. And so I'm an herbalist and aromatherapist with a bunch of different certifications that I don't really need to list all of them. But if people want to learn more, you can go to my website, go to my about page and see some of the courses I've done. So on my website there, I post free articles and create some helpful resources, both digital and print products, and then also work one-on-one with people who need a little bit of help and guidance to help them reach their health goals or feel their best, or maybe, you know, get a natural perspective on something that they're even working with a doctor on. So I also do that too. And hanging out on social media, I'm on Gab and MeWe, but mostly I'll focus my time and attention on my email list. So as people listen, if they want to learn more, they can just head to my website and you'll see on the homepage a place where you can sign up and get my free digital guide that I sent to all my subscribers.
Awesome. I noticed on Gab this morning that you had posted a wild lettuce that looks a lot like dandelion.
Yes.
I'm showing, I call myself a homestead failure. And I say that, tongue in cheek. You know, we're up here in extreme Northwest Oklahoma and we've been in a drought for the last 15 years. So it's been, even the sagebrush and yucca plants are wanting to die on us out here. So trying to keep things growing, we don't have a lot of water. I know I was in contact with an herbalist back in Tennessee who was trying to help me find nettle. Well, she wasn't really trying. She was just telling me, it's everywhere. You just have to look. And I'm just like, oh, I wish I could just send you some pictures of what everywhere out here looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be nice to. And plantain. I've had people send me plantain from back east. I know we have it, but it's number one, trying to figure out what the natives out here call it. And number two, actually trying to find where it's at. And we have the long skinny leaf kind.
Okay.
And then the cattle don't usually let it get big enough for us to recognize what it is. Yeah. So yeah, we just don't have all of the things, but I was thrilled to pieces whenever I showed it to our green thumb, our family green thumb. And she's like, oh yeah, I saw a bunch of that last year. And I'm like, awesome. And she's actually just been picking and eating things. And I'm like, you know, harvest it for the whole family.
Let's
do this. But that's the kind of stuff that you post. And I love it. I'm also on your Telegram community, which is very educational, lots of information. The thing that really caught my attention was a post that you made on your blog about, can Christians take herbs or something like that? What brought you to feeling like you needed to make that post?
Yeah. So that started, I originally wrote it years ago when I was just starting to get into some of my more formal herbal studies. But prior to that, I had started when I got really interested into natural health. I had had some, natural health experiments went bad because I was just following advice from blogs and articles I found on the internet. And so I thought, well, if I'm going to do this, I really need to know what I'm doing. So I went to the library and I just checked out a bunch of books on medicinal herbs. And I got them home and I started, I don't remember all the books that I got, but as I started reading, there was one that stood out to me. And there's a lot of good information in it, you know, but as I'm reading, the author's discussing a harvest ritual and how you need to approach the plants before you're going to harvest from them. And that it involves finding the grandmother of the plant colony and asking her permission and just waiting. And you'll be able to tell if she gives you permission. And if she does, then you can harvest. And you always have to leave enough for the plant. And then it might be valuable to come back later and offer thanks to the plant with a dance, perhaps in the moonlight, maybe with a rattle. And at that point, I was just shocked. Like, what in the world is all of this? I had no idea as a beginner that there was this spiritual aspect to a lot of herbal teachers bring into their material that is so far outside of, you know, a Christian perspective. And so as I kept reading, I would come across people who were starting, I was realizing that there were people who believed using plants in herbal healing was equal to witchcraft. And because of these connections that most herbal teachers will pull in, you were getting into witchcraft. You're getting into sin by using herbal remedies. And as I'm reading that, I'm thinking, this is foolish because God is the one who made these plants. The Bible speaks of him making herbs for the benefit of man. And so I thought, well, it's just like so many other things in life in that God makes something and people, as people have fallen away from the truth and from following after the Lord, then we'll take the good things of God and we'll pervert them so that they don't have to hold the Creator in their memory. And so that was really the springboard for the whole topic. And the response is always interesting because, you know, people will usually fall into one of three camps. They either are Christians and they think I'm just making it up. They think that I don't know what I'm talking about and I'm just making a big deal out of nothing or trying to get clicks because they've only dived into herbs as far as I had at the beginning. So they've never actually picked up a book written by an herbalist to see what's actually out there. And then there's the herbalists or people who are learning about herbs that are not Christians and think that I am just a fundamentalist loon, or I'm not giving credit to where herbal remedies actually came from. And then there's the people who know what I'm talking about and are so grateful that I've covered the topic because there may be, I hear from African Christians a lot, and they're so grateful for it because every herbalist they know is a witch doctor or a shaman. And so it's really helpful for them to read this and realize, oh, I can still use herbal remedies and not be getting into this, you know, practice that I realize is not biblical. And so, yeah, it's always interesting when I get comments on that one.
That's interesting. I was raised New Age. Mm-hmm. So I thankfully gave my heart to the Lord at a very young age, but I was raised to be a Native American medicine woman. Mm-hmm. And after I married a preacher's son, I cleaned house, got rid of the tarot cards and the crystal balls, mm-hmm. and the books and things that I had. And just kind of got rid of everything. And gradually, as I studied the Bible and learned more about the Lord, because I hadn't read the Bible. I didn't mm-hmm. know these things. He started gradually bringing things back into our life, and herbs have been a big part of that. He also called me to become a midwife. So in learning to become a faith midwife and then an herbalist. Yeah, it is. And so I think it's a little bit easier for me to have that discernment, to know mm-hmm. the difference, you know,
yeah.
between whenever you start getting into the hooky stuff compared. Mm-hmm. I know there are some people out here. I've got Native American on both sides of the family. And mm-hmm. There are some people out here who think, Christians anyway, who think that anything Native American is pagan. Mm-hmm. And then there's some that blew it all off as myths and legends that don't matter, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know? And so some people end up letting things into their home and their lives that they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And then some of them won't even consider any of the good information. Mm-hmm. The Native American, a lot of the Native Americans lived off of the land. Some of them were mm-hmm. farmers, some of them were foragers. You know, the different tribes did different things. Mm-hmm. Some of them were very, very steeped in what we would call pagan religion. And then mm-hmm. some of them were not, and lived life very close to a biblical mm-hmm. way. So, you know, there's knowledge there. Yes, we do not need to ask permission to harvest. You know, obviously, you know, we need to pray to the Lord for our provision, you know, one yes. way or another, but we don't need to be asking permission from the, you know, so yeah, that's funny. That's not going away. I'm just pretty yeah. sure.
No,
I did not read that book.
Yes. Yeah. And I actually, since then, I actually bought the book because so much of the information in it is good, but those, mm-hmm. And it's nice to even have it on hand to be able, if someone doesn't believe me, or maybe somebody has some hesitations, to have those things there as examples and be like, okay, so sometimes you're going to come across information like this, and you can toss that out because you're not going to find it in every single page. You're just going to recognize, okay, this is not consistent with my faith. I'm going to toss that out, but this, you know, person has a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge and wisdom, and I can yes. glean from that in order to help me be able to both help myself, my family, and others that I have contact with.
Yes, yes. And I think we need to go on the other end of that, and science can and has, I think most, hopefully a lot of people are coming to the conclusion that science has become a religion of its own now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so the scientism, or whatever you want to call it, will go the other way and say, well, science says this, you know. Mm-hmm. I have a nutritionalist friend who is very well educated, very intelligent, and she's been a big help to me. But we'll get a little crossways. Thankfully, mm-hmm. we're believers, and you know, we can sharpen each other.
Yeah,
and get along still. But we will get a little crossways with my, and I explained it to her that I have a working knowledge of these plants, and I know in particular situations that this can be used, and I can make a blanket statement about mm-hmm. these. Mm-hmm. Whereas her, you know, the nutritional value and mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. things that you can run into that. Yes, there are dangers. I mean, just because it's an herb doesn't mean it's just safe, you know, for right. everybody and every time, mm-hmm. or that you can do a ton. Anything can be too much. I have a friend who has been diabetic since she was 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And you know, there went through in the late 90s a big thing on green tea. Green tea is so good for you. Well, uh-huh. she sat down and drank like 3 or 4 cups of strong green tea because it was going to mm-hmm. be good for her, and ended up in the emergency room. So It's like, yeah, you can overdo anything.
Yes.
Overdo anything. It's just like children eating too much sugar and getting going haywire. You do too much of a particular herb if that's not something that you need at the time, or, you know, you're just doing the wrong amount, then yeah, it can cause things to happen with your body that if you're not prepared for and you don't understand what's happening, you know, can go haywire. So we need to be careful with that. Yeah. And be respectful. I think yes. Adam and Eve could go through the garden when they were first created and just knew, you know, by touching the plants or whatever of what they needed from one day to the next, you know, and they knew what their nutritional, they were, I hate to say because it sounds hooky, but they were in tune with creation at the time, you know, I don't think that's unbiblical to say at all.
No.
As we've gone through a fallen world, obviously, we're not in tune with things anymore. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In the article that you had brought up, is it actually sinful for Christians to use herbs? The thought that I have is, like, I could see that, you know, God, if Adam named all the animals, he's in close fellowship with God. The Bible says that God came and he had communion with them. In the cool of the evening, you know, every day, God coming down and talking to his children, either he just gave them that intuitive knowledge so that they knew, you know, which plants would be helpful for these things, or God told him, told him after the fall, even perhaps, when now sin has entered the world. And so now sickness and death, and now we really need these medicinal plants. You know, I don't imagine that God just left Adam out there trial and error to see which plant makes him better and which one makes him vomit. You know, that's not the nature of our God. He provided a way with a sacrifice. He's going to provide a way also, you know, so I don't think that's unbiblical either. I had some people call me on that and be like, give me a scripture, give me a chapter and verse for that. And I said, perhaps I'm imagining that this might have been, scripture doesn't explicitly say it, but it fits with the nature of God.
Right. Right. Yeah. And you know, the science, they have to start with natural things.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make things out of thin air. And I think people, get an unnecessary, It almost goes into a mysticism of, oh, I'm taking such and such medication, but where does that medication come from? You know, aspirin comes from willow, you know, and every medication that you have comes from something natural. A lot of burnt medications come from petroleum. So, you know, I'm like, yeah, if your blood pressure goes up, maybe you need to go out and sniff the propane tank.
See what that does for you.
I'm not suggesting that anybody do that. Okay.
No. We're laughing for a reason.
Yes. But yeah, everything comes from some kind of a natural source. They can't get it outside of God's creation. The book of Enoch, interestingly, says that the fallen angels started teaching people how to use herbs. And I think in that sense, again, the nature of the fallen angels, they taught them how to use herbs in ways that God never intended. And I also believing in a young earth and everything, I believe that the atmosphere and everything has changed since the flood. So, and Dr. Carl Ball has an excellent biosphere in Glen Rose, Texas, where he's kind of proving that point there. The plants grow much bigger, and like rattlesnake poison changes from being poisonous to actually being a beneficial protein. So just some very interesting studies that I've done down there. So before the flood, things were very different.
Yes.
And I think, and this is just my personal, I think when Noah got drunk right after the flood, I don't think that was intentional. Mm-hmm. I think he accidentally got drunk and didn't realize that it would ferment. I don't think there was the same process before. So, you know, things like marijuana, you know, there's a big thing now about how marijuana is really good for people and it does this and that and this and that. And I was raised by hippies. So if marijuana was going to do all these wonderful things, I know blind people who should not be blind now. And my mother should have lived forever. And I'm like, no, I do not believe. And there's nothing in me that believes smoking anything is beneficial to your body. So just because it's considered an herb does not mean that the way that you're using it or the process or that that particular herb is actually beneficial. I can give people a whole list of other things that will help most ailments that they're wanting to use that for and argue with them if they want me to, you know, and I don't want to take something away from somebody who, you know, feels like it's really helping them. On the other hand, I think it's really sad how some people will accept something so easily, but then not take the time to do some of their own research and find out if there are better options sometimes.
Yeah. I think it's always good to remember that natural doesn't mean safe. You know, people might look at an herb or any, you know, any kind of natural substance, but it's natural. And I like to remind people, well, poison ivy is very, very natural, but you're probably not going to want to eat a salad of it.
Right. Exactly. And there are so many things, you know, some mushrooms are great. There are some mushrooms that you're going to end up in the hospital with your stomach pumped. It's a bad deal and scary.
Or if you even get there to the hospital at all.
I had an uncle that, he just thought he would try that and see what kind of a high he could get off of it. And he was lucky to have lived through it. Not everything just because it's natural is good for you. Not everything just because the doctor suggests it is good for you either. Awesome. So doing your own research is so important. And I think that's one of the plan of the enemy to keep people too busy to be able to do their own research and learn things.
And as people are even researching too, like another thing I try to do is encourage people to know where they're getting their information from, because the internet is such a wild place, you know, and I'm a big free speech person, right? So I don't believe someone needs to be on the internet policing what people are allowed to say. But as a consumer of information, when you go on there, you know, people have to make sure that they're cross-referencing. Well, this person says this. How do I know that's true? Continue to find good sources. Yes. Like even the wild lettuce post I had shared today, I see on different websites where people will say it's wild lettuce extract is just as effective as morphine for pain. And that is just simply not true.
I noticed you put that in there.
Oh my goodness. I make wild lettuce tincture. I have used it for pain. So I'm not saying that it doesn't work, but it is nothing like, I've never been on morphine, right? But it's not, there's no way that morphine is as weak as that. Okay.
Right.
So, you know, you always want to cross-reference that. And that's where, you know, if you're dealing with like a health situation, if you're trying to work through something personally, it can be so helpful to work with, you know, an experienced herbalist or whatever, you know, if someone, it's a digestive thing.
That is so important. It is so important. And knowing what I know, if I'm going to do something different, if I'm going to do a cleanse or something, I've got several health issues that I need to be concerned about. I will work with a professional. I will even work with a professional because, you know, the detox that something can put you through can cause issues that you may not be ready for. Mm-hmm. And having that person to go back and forth with so that you can tweak the system or do something different or just encourage you through it.
Yeah.
Is just very, very important. If you don't know anything about it to begin with, you know, your own research is awesome, but also having somebody come alongside you is exceptional.
So helpful. And I always think too, like, I know when I'm working with a client, you know, I can look at their case and step back from it and unravel it and feel like, okay, I feel like I kind of see a path forward going in this direction. It's totally different when it's me or one of my children or my husband, because you're emotionally involved.
You're and so close to the situation.
You're so close to it. So, you know, as people are doing their research, always keep that in mind that if you really want, if you really need help with something, like, that's a time where we can reach out to somebody, because there's such a movement within, like, the homesteading and, or prepper or, you know, parts of the herbal community of being self-sufficient. And I think we can take that to such a negative degree because God didn't create us to be sufficient on our own. We're meant to be interconnected with one another and be in some kind of community, and nobody can do all of the things, right? Like, I just had a chicken coop delivered to my house this morning because we want to get chickens. We can take care of chickens. My husband and I don't know how to build anything, right? So I was able to support somebody else. He can do this a lot faster and easier than I can. Build us a chicken coop and parked it there. It's the same when you're going through, like, a health situation and you're doing your own research. You might get a lot farther, a lot faster by working with someone who has more experience and isn't starting from the ground up. So I always like to mention that as a way for people to help check their sources, because even dealing with family members, and they'll tell me, well, I did my research on this and I see what they're doing. And I'm just thinking, like, oh boy, you know, that wouldn't be my recommendation, but since you're not asking me, I'm not going to give you unsolicited and unwanted advice.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard. It's really hard, isn't it, to watch people going through those things whenever you when you have the knowledge. So
because you want to help.
Yes. People should thank us for keeping our mouth shut sometimes. Well, and it's neat that you say about the community, because this next magazine that we've got coming out, the spring magazine, and I can't remember what my schedule is for the podcast, but the spring magazine will be out April 30th. So, and you'll be able to get that until the summer magazine comes out July 30th. But the spring magazine, the whole theme is around community. And community is so important. And it's something I feel like we've really lost sight of and lost grasp of since Facebook. Yeah. I think we can basically blame it. I'm blaming it on Facebook. I know it's not Facebook, but, you know, just technology, social media, which people will say things on Facebook that they would never say to your face. Right. And I've tested that out, you know, and go to talk to somebody to their face and they will not say the same thing that they've been saying on Facebook. Right. And we need to, it seems like, and I'm not going to put on a date on the Lord's return, but it seems like we are living in the last days. There's just so many things that are pointing that direction. And whether it is or isn't, it is a time that we really need to be pulling together. Yes. And if you don't have a community, you need to be building one. Yeah. And it's incredibly important. And everybody has, you know, strengths and weaknesses. Like you said, you know, if you're and your husband aren't builders, then having somebody else build the coop for you is a good option. And we have things that we can offer each other in a community, whatever it is, and being able to, don't think if you're going to homestead that you have to do all the things. Like I said, I have black thumbs. So I've got a few house plants that I can dump water in once every week or two or three, and they'll, you know, perk back up. Yeah, exactly. You know,
those are my house plants.
Yes. And the plants outside, you know, I go out there every few, you know, once or twice a week and, mm-hmm. try to, you know, coax them to life. So yeah, we've all, you don't have to do all the things. I can make a quilt in a day. A lot of people can't do that. Yeah. So, and I can make a couple of dresses in a day. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can do that. So we all have our strengths and weaknesses, our things that we're good at and our things, you know, that we need to rely on other people. Recognize what those are. Give yourself some grace, even if it's mm-hmm. something you want to learn about. That's wonderful, but give yourself that grace to not be an expert in everything.
Yes.
That's okay. You know, and I had on Gab, it was so funny. I call him Mr. 10 Acres, and I posted some questions on Gab, you know, what most worries you about homesteading, you know, mm-hmm. and this one guy said nothing worried him at all. He had a 10 acre garden and he was ready for whatever, you know, and I'm sitting here, 10 acre garden is about equivalent to 7 football fields. Mm-hmm. And I would be thrilled to pieces if they, I'm not a ball person. I don't care for competitive sports. So I would be thrilled if all of the little communities out here would turn their football field and they could easily turn half of it into an orchard and half of it into a big community garden.
Yeah.
And feed the community with it. Mm-hmm. I would be thrilled. But it would take a lot of people to be able to take care of a garden and orchard that big, yeah. right? So Mr. 10 Acres is full of baloney as far as I'm concerned. And second of all, what if something happens to him? If he gets yeah. hurt, if, you know, mm-hmm. Then does he have a whole team that's taking care of that, that's doing that, I mean, mm-hmm. it takes more, yeah, than just, oh, yeah, I'm ready for, you know, Armageddon because I've got a 10-acre garden. No, right. You're probably not.
Right. Yeah, and you know, as Christians, too, we recognize, like, God's not calling us, like, no flesh will glory before the Lord, right? Like, my gifts and abilities are not going to, they're nothing in the throne, before the throne of God. And so all of our strengths, we have to recognize the weaknesses within those and be thankful that there are other people we can look to help us in those weak areas. I mean, you know, just as God wants us to be humble and it's not a sign of weakness to be like, oh, I can't do this, but I know someone who can help me.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I think that is so important. Well, let's see, you told everybody where they can find you. Mm-hmm. Let's just give a reminder. And of course, I'll have it in the description as well.
Sure. Yeah. So my personal spot on the web, my little home, is abetterwaytothrive.com. So people can find me there. The best way to stay in touch with me is on my email list to join my subscriber community. I do post mostly on Gab and MeWe now. And I post the same content in both places. So people don't feel like, you know, you don't have to chase me all over social media because who has time for that? And then I also helped co-found and direct a natural health conference for Christians. And so that's called Seeking Whole Health. And you can go to seekingwholehealth.com if you want to learn about that. And we host events in Northeast Ohio.
Oh, nice. Nice. Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being on here. And I really hope that everybody will go check you out. You've just got a lot of wonderful information that you share that's very, very helpful, even to black thumbs like me. And I really, really enjoyed the visit.
Yeah. Thank you, Donita. It was fun.
And if you haven't subscribed to the magazine, pop on over to prairie-trail.com. And there's the magazine there. to subscribe to. And there's also the free newsletter that I've got that keeps you up with the podcasts that we have going on and all the other things. So thank you so much for listening. Make sure to like, share, subscribe, and all that good stuff. And remember, you can weather the dust storms of life with God's divine help.